Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken. Always great care and great taste.
From the station that made country music famous, 650 AM WSM, this is a Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Hi, it's Charlie Maddison. In this episode, we sit down with funny man Henry Cho. Henry was our guest host on Coffee, Country, and Cody. It was December the 19th of 2019. Bill Cody taking some time off as the year wound down, and Henry joined us to share some great stories and a lot of laughs.
Never you come around, never you come around.
Well, that is the first choice from the playlist of our guest host, Henry Cho. Good morning.
Good morning. Man, it's early. I don't know how you do this.
You've got your Smashville hoodie. Are you all ready to go?
I'm ready. Smashville hoodie. Yeah, you know what? It's funny. My wife makes fun of this all the time. She goes, Smashville, really? And I go, it's hockey.
Yeah.
Just because it doesn't say Predators.
And it's hockey-like outside.
It is hockey-like outside. And I just don't want to advertise that I'm a Predator. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, you and Vince go back a long way. Maybe one of your first times ever at the Grand Ole Opry. Vince was there.
Yeah. Huh? You know, one of my very first scheduled appearances, you know, like we were talking, you know, I was blessed enough. They asked me to show up on special occasions, Minnie Pearl's 100th birthday, kind of stuff like that. And then Amy Grant happened to be on the show and she said, you need to do the Opry more. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, like more. Because comedy's always been part of the Opry. Humor's always been part of it. And Vince is like, yeah, man, you got to do it. So I did it. And the first time I scheduled myself, apart from a special occasion, I made sure Vince was on the bill because we're pals and he could introduce me. And, you know, Jeannie Seeley was there and John Conley. I meet all these great guys. And, you know, now when I walk in, it's like walking into, you know, it's like an old ball. It's like being on a ball team.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like the clubhouse, right?
You're in the clubhouse. Yeah. Yes. You walk in and, you know, you don't know who's pinch hitting and who's got an injury or whatever. Uh-huh. And you're just there and it's unbelievable, the feel of being on the team.
Yeah.
I get traded every few weeks, but all of a sudden I get to show up back in the clubhouse kind of deal. So, but yeah, I picked that song because Vince has always done a great golf tournament here called the Vinny in Nashville, which benefits junior golf in the state of Tennessee. And I've played in, I don't know, 25 plus years. Uh-huh. And so he always does a show after Sunday, and we're all in the tent, and he just kind of calls us up, and I've done this show 20 times for him or something, and he played that song, and he talked about the story of what made him write it, and Amy Grant was sitting right there, and all the backstory. So then he goes, Hank, get on up here. So I got up there, and my wife was there, who's also named Amy, and I said, you know, you singers, man, it's just, you know, you get to tell stories about why you wrote a song. And, you know, we don't get that. We don't get to do that. And he's like going, yeah, but you could do it if you wanted. I said, okay, I'm going to do it right now. And I looked at my wife and I said, so honey, remember when you got your identity stolen? Yeah, but guess what? The guy's spending less money, so I'm just going to let it ride. And people laughed, and I said, and I get weak in my knees. And I hold my breath. And I told another song, and I just kept doing his lyrics after the song.
That's great.
So at the end, I slammed my wife one more time, and I said, whenever you come around. And so it was one of those just impromptu things that worked. And Vince was just dying. He's like, oh, man. Because we don't get that. We don't get the stories.
No. So I'm curious, though, because this is that just hit so home for me. So when I started working here with Bill, it was about the same time I started dating my wife now. Right. We've been married it'll be 15 years in May. And the one thing that she was not used to was that, you know, Bill and I, the one thing we do, and the one great rule of radio to me that I have always loved is have a life and talk about it. That because everything is relatable. But she's not used to her going to work and coworkers listening and saying, hey, I didn't know you guys were going to Memphis this weekend. Or so when are you and Charlie going to have a baby? Bill and Charlie, we're talking about that on the air. And suddenly her life is not quite as private as it used to be.
Right. And, not at all.
And I would get home and she's like, you have to tell him not to talk about these things. So and so much of your act and so much of your material is your life. So was it interesting for your family to be a part of
yes.
show business?
Well, yeah, you know, and it's funny because, you know, my mother-in-law, you know, she's part of it because she just says stuff that you shouldn't say.
Yeah.
But every once in a while she'll say something. She goes, what about that? And I'm like, that's not funny enough.
No, just see, my wife does the same thing. She goes, she'll say, you should use that on the air. And I'm like, that's not the good stuff.
Yeah.
No.
No. I know. It's like, you're not a writer. Okay. Just live your life. And when you say something that I think's worthy,
I'll let you know.
Yeah. You'll hear it.
Yeah, you'll hear it. Yeah.
But that's the thing. And I actually just found out at Thanksgiving that my sister-in-law, so it's my wife's brother's wife. So
okay.
Very far removed, yes. Sister-in-law, that she, I always thought she was just quiet. And no, she just doesn't want to say anything in front of me.
Because she'll know what it is.
Because she knows it may end up in that. Because she's seen her husband end up there, because he's the one who said, you know, they're from a small town outside of Huntsville, Arab, Alabama. And when I first met them, he's like, you know, I was just kind of making fun of the town.
Right.
Because they don't have much.
Yeah.
And he goes, we got a new Italian restaurant. And I said, really, is it any good? He goes, well, it ain't no Olive Garden. So that made the show.
Yeah.
And immediately. And so his wife has learned that she does. So I thought she was just.
I am never speaking around Henry again.
She doesn't say anything. Nothing. I just thought she was shy.
Oh,
little did I know.
Now, one man we can't get to stop talking, Richard Thomas, because traffic will never stop in this city.
It will not.
13 minutes past 8 o'clock. Richard.
Now, real-time traffic with Richard Thomas on WSM.
You are the second co-host, or guest host, whatever term you would like to use this week.
To play
the music of Whisperin' Bill Anderson. Jeannie Seeley said, oh, we got to play some Whisperin' Bill. And we were talking during the break. I said, what's up next? And he goes, oh, Waffle House Christmas. Got to play Bill Anderson.
Yeah. You know, it was cool because Bill and I, Bill has been kind ever since I stepped foot in at the Opry House. And he actually asked me to be in that video, and I couldn't pull it off, which would have been cool. And so I think he has something more than just a song there. Mm-hmm. He and I are going to work on a project with around that
okay.
at some point. When I get, I did a Hallmark Christmas movie last year. It's going to air next, Christmas 2020. And once I get their commercials straight. Anyway, but I did it. It's called Farmer and the Bell, Saving Santa Land. And I did it because I knew all the people involved, and I love them dearly. And they try to do the right thing as far as content. And I also got my daughter a role.
Uh-huh.
So she got to play Teenager Number One.
And Teenager Number One.
She nailed it.
Oh.
So she'll get her SAG card and all that good stuff. And
was there a Teenager Number Two? Just out of
there
curiosity.
Was
okay.
Right. There was, okay. And I read the lines, and one actually had it was a better role for her
good.
Than two.
Good. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So so I got involved with these Hallmark movie kind of deals, and first thing that popped in my head was Waffle House Christmas.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way to do it. So I whispered that into Bill's ear,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, yeah, okay. So he sent me this song, and Lee Willard, his manager, sent it to uh-huh. me. And so I've known about this before he even hit the air. And I wish I could have fit it in my schedule just to be in the
video.
Video
yeah.
and be there.
Oh, it's a fun video.
With Tanya and Jeannie.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Just seeing those guys and just hanging out with them, it would have been great. And Bill, actually, at CMA Fest, we did What's My Line? Some Q&A thing.
Uh-huh.
do your job, and I got to do it with Bill.
Oh, that's cool.
That was fun.
Yeah. I think Aaron Enderlin, one of the co-writers on on Waffle House Christmas with Bill Anderson. And you and Bill and me will all be at the Ryman tomorrow.
Tomorrow night. Doing yes, opera at the Ryman tomorrow, man.
Yes.
I'm stoked. I tell you, as soon as it's over, we're headed to Alabama. I mean, kids are going down early, and my wife's coming to the show, and as soon as it's over, she and I are going to hit the road. I told her, I said, do we really have to go? Can't we just go home? All the kids will be gone.
I know. This is a rare opportunity.
I know. Are you kidding me? It's so funny. Last night, we went to an office Christmas party because she's actually working now. Mm-hmm. And we were standing there in the bathroom. She goes, hey, we're in the house by ourselves. And I go, no, we're not. Still a kid.
Yeah.
Still got one. Don't start anything. There's still one in the house.
Have you guys hit the 20 years of marriage?
Yeah, 21.
21. I've been married 15.
Yeah.
And there was a time where on the fall break, my wife and my little guy went down to Florida a few days ahead of me, and I flew down and joined them.
Right.
And the dog had already gone to the pet sitter.
Yeah.
And I literally walked in a quiet room for the first time in over 15 years.
The greatest.
Yeah, I must say, I didn't want it to end.
No. Yeah. It's the greatest. You know, my wife's always like, you're alone all the time when you tour. I go, no, no, no. I want to be alone in my own house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the thing.
Alone in a Marriott's a different experience.
Total different. Yeah.
Not bad, granted. No, I still sleep okay.
I still dig that. I got to have that, too.
All right, let's head to Waffle House, courtesy of Whisperin' Bill Anderson. Henry Cho, our guest host on Coffee, Country, and Codeine.
Mama burned the turkey and Daddy set the tree on fire. Dog started barking. The kids started crying like an out-of-tune Christmas choir. Sister grabbed the baby, Becky grabbed Bubba, and Bubba grabbed a six-pack of beer.
It's a Waffle House Christmas. That is Whisperin' Bill Anderson. That was released around holiday time in 2018. I think it's going to be a mainstay for a while.
Wow. It's already a year old.
Oh, yeah. You know, when it came out, when the record came out, he came in and he had little cards that were good for like a free waffle at Waffle House. And I'm like, one?
Yeah.
Like, how do you eat one waffle?
I know. Yeah. You know, I didn't get any of those. I got to
really.
I'm going to get one tonight.
I saved it. I saved it as a souvenir rather than.
Yeah.
I paid for my waffles and saved the card as a souvenir.
You could spring for a waffle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool though, man. Yeah. Waffle House is icon. I mean, it's the greatest thing about Waffle House is you could wake up in one anywhere, and you wouldn't know what town you were in because they're all exactly the same.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Exactly the same.
Yeah, Cracker Barrel has that ability, too.
They do. Yeah. You know, the crazy thing is, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Tin Cup.
Oh, yeah, with Costner.
Costner,
and,
right.
And Rene Russo.
And Cheech Marin, took my role. Anyway, there was a younger golfer. I was up for that caddy role.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and Cheech is like, dude, Cheech is like, nah, dude, we're going old. You're done. I'm like, oh, man.
Really?
Okay, I've been here 9 times. So there's a scene in Waffle House where they're at a table. And they go, yeah, let's just put these tables together, pull up a chair, and everybody who's ever been in a Waffle House went, there ain't no tables in Waffle House.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't pull up a chair at Waffle House.
They're bolted.
Yes. You're not moving a table. Anyway.
Oh, goodness.
But, so we're at the Opry Friday, and then I'm done for the year. And then January 10th, I always stick close to home because weather-wise, travel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the Palace Theater in South Pittsburgh.
Oh, uh-huh.
Which is...
you know who's... John Schneider was our guest host yesterday, and he's playing there Saturday. So I did the history of that building. What a beautiful theater that is.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, there's a website. Now, you want to get... Now, I can get... I know people can get lost for hours on YouTube or whatever, just watching videos of, you know, pugs and cats. But nonetheless, cinematreasures.org.
Right.
And it's like the Wikipedia of movie theaters and in America. And,
right.
And they have an incredible archive of like vintage photos. And it just took me because I was doing the history and that's what popped up. So then I'm thinking, oh, man, what was the theater my dad and I saw like Rocky and the Deer Hunter in?
Right.
Oh, it was the Holiday Theater in Central Falls, Rhode Island. And they got a page on that with vintage photos.
That's
and,
awesome.
And like newspaper clippings.
Yeah.
So I did the history on that. But it's a beautiful theater.
Beautiful room. Yeah. And small towns throughout the country, not just small towns, all towns. Even the Franklin Theater,
yep,
mm-hmm. right here locally. You know, it was an old movie theater, and they redo it.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, I'm there January 10th. Yep. The owners there are great people, and they're like, you know, we need to get our little place on the map. So you come do this, and we got this guy and this guy. I said, sure, I can do that, man. I bop down, and hopefully I'll get a break in the weather, play a little golf right there.
Yeah.
Sweetens Cove, and be good. But
that could be chilly golfing.
That's all right. As long as it's 45, I'll be right.
Really? Is that the cutoff?
45 is cutoff.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got, and it has to reach 45.
Okay.
And it's got to be in the 40s.
Ish, right?
Ish,
by the time
before
you
and after, yeah.
All right.
So then the next week I do...
The Paramount. In Bristol.
In Bristol, yeah. Great theater.
That's another one from the 30s, National Register of Historic Places.
Right, and this is my second time there. So I was there several years ago, and East Tennessee, so it's all good. And then I come back this way, and I go to Tullahoma, little theater there, which we discovered because we go to the lake down that way. And all the local folks are going, when are you going to do a show here? And I went, where would I do a show here? And they go, we got a little theater. I went, really? So about 8 years ago, I drove by there and went in there, and I went, yeah, we can do this.
This'll work.
I do it every January.
Oh, that's great.
So this is like my seventh or eighth year in a row.
And you just wrapped up three nights at Zany's a couple weeks ago as well. That was a truly sleep in your own bed.
That was a three-night deal, which, you know, it's great to work at home, but then it's not. Like the very first night, Thursday, you know, I'm trying to do my routine, which is, you know, there's a nap in there somewhere. I take a little power comedy nap. And, you know, at 5 o'clock, my wife calls and goes, hey, you need to go get our daughter.
Right.
Really? Okay. So here I am.
There's no nap happening.
No.
Right? Yeah.
Kind of fighting traffic at 5. Not that it's bad. Pick her up. She needs to go a couple places. I get home at 6:10.
Yeah, we're back to that quiet Marriott that's sounding pretty good right now, right?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, but... I was at Zany's, and it was great. So I stick close to home January, then I go to Jacksonville end of the month. Definitely
Florida,
good golf weather.
Right?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, okay, I want to make sure there wasn't a Jacksonville, Tennessee.
No.
All right.
My first 2 weeks in January, I stick close to home, and then I'm back out.
All right. So this will be an Alabama Christmas, though, not a Tennessee Christmas this year.
It's going to be Alabama, and actually, we're here. That's the coolest thing.
Uh-huh.
We're going to Alabama Friday, Saturday, and that's it.
Oh, and then coming back.
Then we're here.
Okay.
Then we go to Breckenridge, and it's all good.
All right. Do you still have family in Knoxville?
I do. My mom's still there, and so we'll go see her. It's funny. She's been, she's happy to be home right now. She's been traveling around helping some friends that weren't feeling good and stuff. And
for her that she can be the one who can travel around and help.
Oh my goodness.
You know?
She's 80 something.
Yeah.
We'll say. She's mid late 80s.
Yeah.
And she still walks 4 miles a day.
Well, good for that might be one of the reasons why she's still getting around.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
You know,
I can't keep up with her.
Yeah. Well, good for her.
Well, she's Korean. What are you going to do?
Well, Henry Cho is our guest host this morning on Coffee, Country, and Cody. He's from Knoxville. That makes him South Korean. Right?
That's right. First joke I ever did, baby. First joke I ever did.
Live, Carrie Underwood, American Idol winner with special guest Henry Cho coming to you.
Yeah,
you were on the Carrie Underwood tour right after American Idol.
Yeah, it was so cool. You know, they asked me to go out with her because she was going to be the only musician on stage.
Uh-huh.
And as her first headline tour. So I've known Carrie for years. And I just knew that young lady was going to just go nuts like she has.
Yeah.
I mean, just skyrocket. And
so you knew her before she was a hockey fan.
I knew her before there were some. So the great thing is, so my Mike Fisher, who's her husband, tells a great story that, you know, he's going to meet her and after the show, and it's set up and all that. So he's thinking he's going to meet her, and he's in the meet and greet line.
Oh,
with a bunch of teenage girls, and he's this single guy standing there amongst a bunch of 13, 14 year olds. Yeah, it's pretty funny. But yeah, Carrie and I go way back. She was, I'll never get her first tour, and she did all her song lists, and she came off stage, and I'm standing down there with her mom, and I went, whoa, where are you going? She's like, I'm done. And I go, no, you hear that? That's called an encore.
Yeah, please go do one more.
I go, you will never, ever come off stage the rest of your life without an encore.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I sang all my songs. I go, go sing that again.
Yeah.
And what? Just do it. And she's been phenomenal, as we all know. And she's a great representative of the Opry, and she still does it all the time.
Oh,
and loves it, and just carries her faith around strong. And, you know, she's a mom and a wife, and then she's a country music singer.
The Instagram video that she and Mike posted of singing to their baby is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
You can't write that. Yeah, I got that sent to me, and I was like just dying.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because I told Mike, I said, you know, it is tough because, you know, you're kind of looking at it, and, you know, my wife can sing.
Yeah.
My wife sings, and our kids heard her singing their whole lives. But there is a little different when it's different when Carrie Underwood singing it.
Yes.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm sitting going, well, yeah, the kid. And plus, that kid was in her womb hearing her sing.
Yeah. For a while.
Yeah. Yeah. 9 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the best acoustics, but still.
Actually, you know. They're not bad.
Really?
Yeah. You ever been in a pool?
No.
You never been in a womb?
Well, I've been in a pool.
Yeah. Same thing.
I was hatched.
I'm kidding. So.
Henry Cho is our guest host. Richard Thomas is going to help you get to work. Hopefully, rush hour is starting to wind down. It's 8:42.
Bill Cody.
Boy. That escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
WSM.
Coffee, Country, Cody. Henry Cho, our guest host this morning, as Billy Boy takes the week off. You know, he had a birthday on Monday.
He did.
He celebrated
87?
No. Yeah, I like that. Number 61.
61. Roger Maris.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
With no asterisk for Bill Cody.
No, because he's going to make you 62.
Yeah, we'll hope. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday, Bill.
So, I've had a good 2019. I trust you've had a good 2019, but it would be hard to come up with a guy who's had a better 2019.
There's no one who's had a better 2019 than this guy. I was so blessed and lucky. I was at the Opry the night he got asked and inducted, and you know, it's really cool to see somebody who was riding a ginormous wave be so honored and humbled and emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool, and it was at the Opry House, so I got to have my kids and some of their friends there, big Luke Combs fans, and it was neat.
Yeah.
That was neat.
Hey, he seems like a good guy. He really does. And boy, he just had, did Opry at the Ryman, went across the street, sold out at Bridgestone.
Yes.
Came back across the street and did an after party at Old Red all on the same night.
Yeah. Well, you know, he is in his 20s.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, I go to bed at that time. But
I would have snuck out at some point.
Is there
but,
a nap here or something?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I love it, and I love his music, and it was funny. It's really connected. I'm not that I'm not uncool with my own kids, because I'm the coolest dad they know. make sure they say that a lot. But one of his songs was playing, and I went, oh, that's Luke Combs. And my kids went, whoa, Dad, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Not just Vince Gill and all those old guys. I'm like, shut up. So.
My six-year-old got hooked on Old Town Road. I don't know where or how, but it just one day he just started singing, and I'm like, where did this come from?
Right.
And it's like I don't remember at six being able to sing a song. I mean, I probably could, but it was probably like a nursery rhyme kind of song. I don't think I was singing like, you know, Suspicious Minds.
Boy,
at six.
That would have been a good one.
That would have been big when I was six. Burning Love or something, you know?
Right.
But he's got Old Town Road.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know why? It's because you actually play music around him.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'll leave you on this, and then we'll play Luke Combs. But this is actually pretty funny. So he's just
pretty funny.
He's about you judge, because you're the judge.
I'm
of,
just kidding.
You're the judge of fun.
I'm just kidding.
You're the judge of funny.
I'm just kidding. So. But listen to me, people. Don't ever start a conversation with "this is pretty funny" or "this is funny."
Because then you set yourself up.
Yeah,
to fail.
Okay. Yeah. Just tell.
Let me tell you the story. Jackson is about 3 months old, and my wife is like,
you know, that's my son's name.
I heard when he said that on the air. I
Go
was
ahead.
Like so tickled by
so
that.
So Jackson's how?
Yeah, about 3 months old at the time. He's now 6 and a half. I know it's hard to believe with this face.
Wow.
So, but I played him music from the day we brought him home, and I'm a huge jazz fan. So he was listening to Coltrane and Art Blakey and you know, some of the Sinatra stuff with the big band. And I was playing Miles Davis, but like the 70s Miles Davis, when it's like way out there.
Yeah. And before he was Kilometer Davis.
Right. And from the...
Go ahead.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Stephen Wright, go ahead.
From the other room, she comes running out and thinks that the child is like in like torturous pain and I'm doing nothing because the music is just so out there and he's just blissfully listening to it. And I'm like, no, baby, this is Miles Davis. And she just didn't understand that. So
didn't get it.
But I have played him music since he first came home.
Yeah. So. And you played him jazz. So any Marsalis Brothers?
Oh, yeah. You know, though, I was at the first show at the Skirmerhorn.
When Branford.
Yeah, it sure was, and I was there for that one.
Yeah, Branford's an old buddy of mine, man. The old Tonight Show days.
Yes, and my wife and I love New Orleans. We just saw Ellis at Snug Harbor. He still does a weekly residency at Snug Harbor.
Wow.
And it's like one of those rooms that you would love. I mean, it's like 80 people, maybe the most.
Yep.
So you're no matter where you are, you're there.
Yep.
Oh,
it's like Storyville.
Hey,
used to be down there.
He walks through the crowd to get to the stage.
It's just like Storyville.
Yeah.
I don't know if you
I've never been to Storyville.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a venue. I think her, Katrina got it.
But Katrina got a lot. Yeah.
But Storyville was one of those places. And I mean, it was, you know, it was New Orleans back in the good old touring days, late 80s, early 90s. Uh-huh. And yeah, we used to go to New Orleans. And, you know, I think the late show started at like 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah. And you always want the late show because the early show has to end.
Right.
But the late show, you never know.
Never know. And you never know who's going to pop
in. It can keep going for a while.
You know, yeah. I mean, I would have musicians come up during, I'd spot them in the crowd and just say, hey, get up here and play a number. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
And the crowd would go, yeah.
Yeah.
So they go, really? Yeah, during your set? Yeah, come on, I don't care.
That is Henry Cho. I'm Charlie Maddox. It's Coffee, Country, and Cody. Oh, yeah, Luke Combs.
Everybody.
We almost forgot about it. The guy needs a spin. I mean, he's struggling these
he's
days.
He's hurting.
So, here we go.
Sunday morning, man, she woke up fighting mad.
That is Grand Ole Opry star Darius Rucker. Of course, back in the day, and the day is now come full circle. Hootie and the Blowfish selling out arenas everywhere again.
Well, he's paying off his old pals, man.
Yeah.
They're all making money.
And I was telling you, I can vividly remember watching David Letterman when Hootie and the Blowfish make their network debut. And the next morning, I was at Tower Records to buy the records. And wait, not so fast, my friends. That was not their network debut.
No, it was not. Their network debut was on my show when I hosted Friday Night Videos.
On NBC.
On NBC.
The same network, right?
Same network at the time. And Katie, a girl who worked on the show, told me about this band. And had me listen to it. And I said, yeah, that's great. So they came out and they played. It was really loud. So my buddy Troy, who's a producer myself, we asked him to do an acoustic set. And so the guys got up there, all four with acoustic guitars. And Jim Sony, who is drummer, he just kind of pounded on it. Mm-hmm. And they sang and it was beautiful. And that was the very first time they ever did television. Mm-hmm. And we piggybacked the Tonight Show back then. So Jay Leno asked me, hey, any bands I need to know about? And I said, yeah, Hootie and the Blowfish, they got Crack Rear View. You got to get them on. And the rest is history, as they say. And
wow.
So I've known Darius and the guys, Mark and the boys, forever. And great pals, good golfing guys. I play in their Money After the Masters when I can. Mm-hmm. And we go way, way back. I mean, that was, you know, 95, 96.
Yeah.
So
well, because Tower Records was still open, so it had to go way back.
And you actually went into a record store.
Yeah, and bought and bought it brand new.
Yeah.
Wow. It's one of those voices that you remember the first time you hear it.
Yes.
You know?
And it's funny, a good pal of mine at church, he and his wife, that was their band when they were dating.
Uh-huh.
And that was like their first concert. So now Hootie and Blowfish comes back up, and my buddy, who's never asked me for anything in, you know, 25 years that I've known him, he said, I really need to take my wife to see them somewhere, anywhere. So I contacted a...
it doesn't matter where, right?
Yeah. And Jim Soney was a prince. He got him there, and they got to meet him and take pictures in Columbia. It was
the hometown gig.
Yeah.
Oh, that's even better.
So, it was great. Wow. And the guys were great, and they took care of my pal. And it was the same thing because they were like, well, you've never asked for anything, so here.
So you mentioned a friend from church. Does the comedian ever get to say the prayer or ask to give the blessing
Here's the thing.
How brave are they?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. One of the rules of is a guideline if you're doing communion or any announcements is no jokes.
Right.
And so I've never done it, ever. Okay. And I've told our preachers, like, going, hey, you know, because, you know, we're very involved in our church. Yeah. And my preacher's going, hey, do you want to? I go, no, dude, you don't understand. If I stand up and I'm in front of people.
Something's going to happen.
I go, number one, they're going to expect it.
Right.
And number two, I'm going to deliver.
Yeah, it's osmosis. It's a muscle memory.
God wants me to be funny. You don't understand. And I go, and then kind of when I get going, I may not get off because God would want me to keep going. So to prove this gift that he's given me. So I don't even do it, you know, but I've been interviewed from some guys at my church for our outreach community thing. We have people from the neighborhood and around came in just the way I kind of do my best to navigate my faith through what I do. Cause I've always been a faith, family, fame guy. That's why I live here. Yeah. That's why we live in Tennessee. That's why I've turned down a lot of cool stuff because I did not want to raise my kids in California. Mm-hmm. Love L.A., dear friends, great weather, great golf, but just the moral compass in there, which I need.
Yeah.
Because it takes a village, as you know. And my kids are growing up kind of a lot more like I want them to. They kind of chagrin about it because they could be great surfers now and have some beach chicks. But, you know, what are you going to do? My boys are my boys and my daughter's my daughter, and I think we're all better people because where we live and who we associate ourselves with, and that's what's important. Mm-hmm. And now they're more mobile, so I get to do more stuff. Got some films coming up. I'm actually shooting a television pilot, and I'm doing it my way. Get to shoot what I want, and I'm excited. I'm in the middle of writing it. Matter of fact, we got to turn it in Friday, so the 20th.
Oh, well, yes.
So, we are finalizing this script, and it's my old writing pal, L.A. guy, who's been here a couple times in the last month because we've been writing. Our last show we did, we sold it to CBS, 07 through 09, and then my kids got a little older. So when the other deals were offered in the 2010, 2012 range, I just couldn't do it because I wasn't going to move our family. And so I was out of the game for about, I thought, another year since my Grant is a junior in high school, and my daughter is very mobile. She can do whatever. But I got approached and asked if I would get in the game a little early, and I said I will as long as I don't have to move to L.A. And they said, you do not have to move to L.A. to do this. We can do this very regionally between here and Atlanta. And I said, now you got my attention. And I said, what do you want me to do? They said, we want you to do the show you've always wanted to do. I said, okay.
That's a pretty good offer. Yeah.
Yeah. And they said, so you write what you want, and we're going to make this work. I said, done.
All right.
So that's what we're doing. Me and my buddy Jim Hope. And that we'll see. It's a great, wholesome, funny show, which isn't out there anymore. So it's very Andy Griffith, Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies meets Seinfeld.
Ooh.
And MASH, because I'm Asian. I'm kidding. That's just a joke. Anyway.
HenryChoComedy.com on the web. Am I just delusional, or was your website not at one point Cho Industries?
No, it is. Cho Business.
Cho Business. Okay, Cho Business.
There's no business like Cho Business. That's it, Cho. You can go to ChoBusiness.com, and it'll kick you over to
Henry Cho Comedy.
Henry Cho Comedy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I own Cho Business, and I own Cho Industries, which is hilarious because I get all these offers for, shipping companies and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I'm like, I'm just a comedian that had a fancy name.
All right. We're going to take a break. Henry Cho's our guest host this morning. Let's play some Amy Grant and tell the story of Uggs when we come back.
Sure.
All right.
It's the only Christmas for me.
So good.
There's nothing better than that. I'm telling you. Just, I mean, that's just conjures up memories from the first time I heard it as a Knoxville boy. And then later on, actually getting to sit right next to Amy Grant as she performed it. And just.
It's surreal at that point, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's still surreal. I mean, everything's surreal. I mean, Vince and I were playing golf a couple weeks ago, and he was talking to her, and it was his shot, so he was trying to get off the phone. I said, here, let me just talk to her. So, you know, and Amy and I talk all the time, and, I knew them separately, which is always kind of weird. And so she was out with Michael W. Smith, and she's like, oh, every time it snows and Christmas time, I always think of you, because I did their Christmas tour, a couple years, and then we toured on buses and all that stuff, And she's like, I still have my boots you gave me. And
now, when I hear that, I'm thinking, oh, Dan Post, Luke Casey. I'm thinking boots.
Right. Yeah, but no. So I gave her some Uggs back in 04. And my first pair of Uggs were in 89, as we were talking, because they were actually Australian.
So did you have, like, the Ugg prototype?
Yeah. No. But they were, like, Uggs, and they were for surfers, because the beaches in Australia and on the West Coast are hundreds of yards wide, and it's cold, and we use wetsuits to surf. And so I would wear my Uggs all the way down on the water and all the way back, and I had two pegs. I'd stick them on, and, you know, they finally rotted out after probably a decade or two. And, I'll never forget our babysitter here in Nashville. I answered the door one winter, and she goes, I didn't know guys wore Uggs. And I went, no, Uggs were for guys.
Yeah.
It wasn't until Sarah Jessica Parker wore them on Sex in the City.
That was good product placement.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
They went nuts.
Yeah. Apple laptops and Uggs.
Everything.
Yeah, when she flipped open that laptop with big Apple logo.
That's all it took.
Yeah.
And Uggs went off the charts, and it's like, what? No. I know guys at the beach always wear Uggs.
That's crazy that she's had them resurface, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So Amy Grant's had those since 04. Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Well, every Christmas tour.
I scored big time because my wife's Christmas gift this year is tickets to Vince and Amy and then dinner after and front row in the balcony, perhaps the only spot in the Ryman where there actually is leg room.
You know what? You are a hero.
I did good.
You're a hero.
I did.
Yeah.
Good.
Go see their Christmas show at the Ryman if you can. Yeah. It's a really unique show. And
it's her thing. She's so good.
The only thing missing is me. But I think the shows were better when I was involved with them. But I'm kidding. She does such a great show. And if you're out there and she and Smitty are out together, go see that show.
They're suffering with this Rodney Crowell guy who comes out first. Like a while. So I guess we'll sit through that, I guess.
Or you can come late.
Yeah. So Willie's a big part of your career as well.
I'm sorry?
Willie Nelson.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Willie's cool. So Dallas, Texas outdoor big show. I can't remember who we did it for, but it was Leanne Womack, me, and Willie Nelson. And before the show even starts, Willie tells me he's got an early tea time in Austin. He goes, Hank, I need you off stage at 9.
Okay.
Because I'm getting off at 10.
Right.
He goes, matter of fact, right before, we're pulling out at 10.
Right.
I have to pull out at 10. Fine. Leanne goes up, sings, she's supposed to do 3 songs, sings them, crowd's going crazy. I mean, it's outdoors. It's not great for a comedian.
Right.
And I can't remember how long I was supposed to do, 20, 25 minutes. And so the crowd's going nuts for Leanne. Of course, why wouldn't you? And she looks at me, and I just give her a little keep going sign. Mm-hmm. So she sings another one and another one. And during the 5th song, the promoter comes up and goes, man, she's really cutting your time. You want me to go ask Willie if to push the show? And I go, no. Willie told me to get off at 9. I'm getting off at 9. So Leanne sings probably 6 songs. And by now, at this point, my time's gone from 25 minutes to about 9.
Okay.
And the promoter's freaking out. He goes, don't you want to go longer? I said, no, it's perfect. So I go out, and I kill it for 9. Kill it. Come off stage. Willie looks at me and goes, you're a genius. I go, yep. He goes, same pay? I go, oh, yeah. He goes, less time.
That's right.
You're a genius.
Oh, I love that.
And I said, have a good golf game. I'm out of here. Yep.
So What is more difficult, doing like a full 75 to 90 minute set when you're out on the road, or paring it down to 4 minutes with Leno on The Tonight Show?
Paring it down. Yeah. Because if it's my own show, I can do what I want when I want. Something's not working, I can change gears. I can go over here. I can go over there. I can fill out the room, which I do every show anyway. Every show's different in my eyes because every crowd's different.
Right.
So I know my first two jokes. If I'm doing my own show, I know my first two jokes, and then I kind of go. The Opry, I can move around a little bit. I can tend to say in my head, I think I'm going to go down this way and then kind of shift it. But it is a pretty, as far as the live crowds, is a pretty consistent demographic.
And you did Carson for the first time, or you did would have been Leno? Already?
I was supposed to be Johnny's last new guy, but he announced his retirement, so everybody took my spot.
Oh yeah, because then it was the who's who coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be back there waiting, right. And Bette Midler would walk in, and yeah. I'm like, well, okay, I'm not on again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really frustrating, but yeah. I got it, and it was cool, and I got to hang out, and I was there for the
for
a very cool moment in television history. And then Jay took over, and I was Jay told me I was going to be his first new guy. So I was. I was on the first week Jay ever did The Tonight Show.
Yeah,
it was neat. He'd done it many times since. And, you know, it's just when you do a show like that, you run your set in town, and their talent people watch your set, and they tell you what that they like this, they don't like that. You can't say this. You can't say that. So you're set is verbatim what they want.
It's pretty much scripted for you.
Yeah, and you can't deviate.
Yeah.
Which is very hard as a comedian, because if something's not working, you want to change gears.
Sure.
But you got to stick to it. That's why you got to make sure your set is solid as all get out.
Yeah.
Or.
And for someone who's used to having the audience be right there, TV, they're anything but right there, right?
I mean, they're 50 feet away, and you're looking at a camera.
I mean, you can hear them, but can you even see them with the lights?
Yeah, you can see them, but it's not the same because you're playing at a camera. You're playing to a camera,
right? Yeah.
I tend to look past it. I think just doing television spots for years and decades, so all the cable, even into the improvs, Comic Strip Lives, all the Comedy Central, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, I hosted 100 plus shows for Friday Night Videos.
Yeah.
And it was teleprompter. You know, my camera guy was Johnny Carson's camera guy.
Yeah.
My lighting guys were Johnny Carson's lighting guys. Uh-huh. I mean, it was just crazy to me. So being able to look at those cameras and deliver lines, and then when I do a live set, whether it be Jay Show or Ferguson or whatever, I could get past the cameras and go to the crowd visually, because I've done it.
Sure.
Hundreds of times.
Yeah.
But, those 4.5 minutes, it's a roller coaster ride, and you don't know if you're going to stay on the tracks or not. You can get derailed, and your entire career can shift. And that's what people don't understand. I mean, Vince can go do the Opry and sing his songs, and he's probably not a great example because he brings it every time. He just loves being out there. But, you know, sometimes people don't feel it.
Yeah.
And they just kind of do it.
Yep.
And that's fine. As comedians can't just phone it in.
Right.
Because if we phone it in, you're going to know.
Yeah.
And if you know, you're going to eat us alive.
Yeah.
Because it's an innate reaction in a human being. When you smell blood, you want to see more.
Yeah.
And as a comedian, there's no net.
Right. But the one good thing is, and I can't remember who told me this, but it made sense because I never thought of it, but they do want to be happy. They do want to laugh. They want you to be good, right?
They want you to be good from
until
the
you're
start.
Not good,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're rooting for you,
right? Yeah,
for the most part.
If you let them down
once,
yeah,
and it's by joke,
yeah.
I'm judged every joke. A comedian's judged every joke because I could be killing it and do one joke and then I got to start all over,
right? Oh, and lost them. All right, here we go again. Right.
Yeah,
yeah.
And when you only have 7 or 8 minutes, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't take a chance on doing a joke that's going to be a B joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it. And for you handful of people that get mad that I did the same set or it's a joke you've heard before, I apologize, but I have a job to do.
I have to tell you this, because I've gotten to do a lot of fun stuff at the Opry the last 6 months, which has been such a joy for me. I mean, it's been the most fun part of my gig in a long time. I love it. And you and I have worked together a bunch. Mm-hmm. And I now love watching the crowd react. It's taken on a life of its own, and I enjoy it on an entirely new level.
Right, yeah. Because you're looking at it through different eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Right, and it's wonderful.
It's fun.
Because if I kind of know where you're going, I'm waiting for their reaction, and I'm loving it through them as much as I'm loving it through you. And that's the beauty of it to me.
That is, you know? Well, thank you. That is a great thing. And the band guys say the same thing because they've heard it.
Oh, Randy Hart's rolling. I'm watching him on the keyboards, and he's like it's the first time he's ever heard anything.
I know. There's a purity to it and a pureness. And that's what I love.
All right. Look at your playlist. Pick out an A-plus song. We're going to take a break. Come back with more.
Wow.
No B-plus songs
no
today.
No B songs.
That's Henry Cho, our guest host on Coffee, Country, and Cody. That is Rascal Flatts from the playlist of Henry Cho this morning, our guest host on Coffee, Country, and Cody.
Yeah, you know what happens when you plan a foursome of golf with Rascal Flatts the day after the CMAs? You get a onesome. They all canceled on me. They all went to parties and stuff. I'm out there on the first tee going, they're coming, I swear, they're coming.
Nope.
Yep. Then I get a text going, dude, can't make it. Three of them in a row. Dude, sorry, buddy, sorry.
The 18 holes, it was much faster, though.
It was way faster. Way faster.
What's your best round? What's your best 18 rounds?
Oh, my best score?
18 holes, yeah.
Oh,
not 18 68, rounds.
68, 67.
Really?
60. Yeah, I could play some golf back in the day. Right. Well, I have 23 hours a day to kill. So I'd be pretty good.
Granted, yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Willie's line? It's asked him if he's going to retire, and he goes, all I want to do is sing and play golf. What would I retire from?
Exactly.
You know, I'm doing what I want to do.
Well, Willie's also said, you know, his own golf course, they asked him, you know, what's the par on this course? He goes, anything I want it to be. Like that hole right there yesterday, it was a par 17, and I made a birdie.
On a good day, it's a 9.
That's right.
Oh, gosh. You made friends with any of the guys on the PGA Tour?
I am. You know, well, Brant Snedeker, who's a local guy. He and I play
Vandy All-American.
Brant's great guy, great for golf and all of that. Yeah, but I've been very fortunate through the years, you know. Craig Stadler, mm-hmm. Billy Andrade, Stuart Sink, Scott McCarron's good pal.
When I lived in Miami, I covered the Honda Classic, and then that was always the prelude to Doral.
Right.
You know, and I remember the first time going to cover, and I liked golf, but I'd never been to a golf event.
Right.
And I'm walking by them on the practice putting green, and they're like so close, and you just don't realize that you're just right there,
right?
You know, and I found that to be very appealing.
Well, yeah, you know? I mean, you're right there, and you can watch them if they hit one offline outside the ropes. I mean, you can stand, as long as you're not in their backswing, you can stand right there and watch them do it. It's always been an approachable. They're like rock stars now. It's crazy, private jets and stuff like that. But you know, golf is a big part of my life. Yeah. I love it. It's a passion of mine. It's what keeps me sane, I think, especially touring. Uh-huh. And it's like Alice Cooper said, it saved his life. You know, I wasn't in Alice Cooper's, I wasn't going down his road, but
that's a road.
It's definitely been a healthy decision of my own, because when I tour, it's what I do. I mean, I'm outside for 6 hours. I get to meet people all over and I meet different golfers.
Do you walk as often as you can as opposed to doing the cart?
I walk as often as I can.
Because some places won't let you walk. Right.
Okay. Right. You know, I was in Streamsong, which is outside of Tampa, right before Thanksgiving, and we walked every round 3 days in a row. And matter of fact, I just had my annual with my doctor yesterday, and he said so. And I go, dude, I walked, I walked 54 holes. I wanted to play more, very hilly, and the other guys were in their 40s and they were tired.
Yeah,
and he said, yeah, you just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. 18 holes at most courses is about 5 miles. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, depending. We were walking 7 miles a day then. So it's a good hike. And it's very healthy. And, you know, Golf is, there are those that have the gift of being professional golfers, and it's just, even they hit bad shots.
Oh, yeah.
No one will ever master the game. Uh-huh. That's what brings the, brings you back. And, yeah, I've been very blessed to play.
It's a humbling sport.
Very humbling. It's Ben Crenshaw always said, you think you master it, the next shot, it'll bring you to your knees.
The two toughest things in all of sports to me are hitting a major league curveball and putting that little white ball within like 2 feet of a hole.
That's why you're on the radio.
Those are the two toughest things.
They are.
Yeah.
They are so hard to do.
Yeah.
That's why you're on the radio. And that's why I do tell jokes for a living.
Because I can talk.
That's right. I play with all these tour guys who play for a living. Yeah. And, I'm a decent golfer. But, I'll hit a shot like I should, which is horrible.
Yeah.
And they'll just go, Hank, you know what? It's a good thing you're funny.
Yeah.
That's all they say.
Yeah. The problem is if we lose our voice, we've lost our only skill.
That's true.
I can't make anything.
No, I'm not real funny doing sign language. I've tried it.
No,
I'm a little slow. My timing's off.
So we got time for a song or two. You said we got to play some Reba and we got to play some Dolly.
Well, we got to play Reba because, she was a genius. I toured with her back in the early 90s, and it was me, Brooks and Dunn, and her. And sometimes it was just she and I. And
is it not crazy, by the way, that they've come full circle and it's Reba and Brooks and Dunn doing the Vegas
And I tell you, I'm really mad that I'm not there.
Hey, hello.
I went, hey, I was part of that opening tour. Yeah. I did 20-something days. Where's my money? Yeah. But I would do 10 minutes and there'll be a silk screen behind me and Brooks and Dunn be ready to go.
Yeah.
So Reba eliminated the setup and breakdown of an opening band.
Mm-hmm.
It cut the showtime in by 30 minutes easily.
Easy, yeah.
And we were in and out, and she was a genius in that respect. And, people don't know that, Garth Brooks Brooks and Dunn, all these other bands opened for her and learned how to put on shows because she is the...
She's about the show. Yeah.
She's the showwoman.
Yeah.
It was about the show. Mm-hmm. All these great shows you see now... spun off of hers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible. Larry Gatlin and all those guys. Yeah. I mean, it was, Dottie West used to be that person too. And then Reba took over, and Reba's just an icon to me. Here's what I love about Reba McEntire. She, buddy of mine, huge Reba fan. And just so happened playing golf. By the way, I know I'm dropping a lot of names and I hate to do that because Paul McCartney told me never to be a name dropper. But anyway, since we're doing country music, WSM, and I've actually
this
been
is the place.
Blessed enough.
Yes.
Yeah, I've worked with these people. Yeah. So, and they're I consider them friends. Buddy of mine, huge Reba fan. Love to meet her. Just so happened, golf course. I said, you know what? We may run into her. Sure enough, there she is. I go, hey, Reba, this is my friend Jim Linderman. And she walks up and goes, hey, Jim Linderman, my name's Reba McEntire.
In that Reba voice, right?
And he goes, I know who you are. She goes, always say your name, Jim. Always say your name. And she's right.
I love that.
She goes, I'm Reba McEntire. Yeah. She would never come up and go, I'm Reba, or not say her name.
Right.
That's the type of person she is. And I'm Reba McEntire. Always say your name, Jim. Always say your name. And she used to always tell me after I get done with my set, Henry, you got to smile more. Smile for him. Come on, you're putting on a show. Smile.
That's funny because you do smile a lot.
I do now.
Yeah.
I used to not.
Yeah.
Cause she's like, I always had that kind of sheepish, wow, I can't believe I get to do this.
Right.
I can't believe y'all laughed at that. That was kind of my own kind of thing. But she goes, you need to smile when you're done.
Yeah.
I went, all right, I'll start smiling.
Reba McEntire.
Showbiz.
All right. We'll play some Reba. Henry
Chilwell. Play Reba, then we're going to play some Dolly.
We're going to play some Dolly, yep. So.
Do I get to talk anymore?
I think you're done.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me. Merry Christmas, everybody.
It's a fast 2 hours.
It is a fast.
I got a great
Dolly story. I'll save for next time. Merry Christmas. Thanks for having me.
You too, buddy. And I'll see you Friday night.
Friday night.
Tomorrow night, Ryman Auditorium, 7 o'clock for the Grand Ole Opry.
You got it.
All righty.
Thanks for listening to our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast. Our digital program director is Jay Patrick. Our digital producer is Haley Hall. Marketing and promotions director, Nicole A. Judd. General manager of 650 AM WSM is Chris Kulik. I'm Charlie Matos. We'll see you next time on our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken, always great care and great taste.